Imole Deo, cum cum parada. Imole Deo, o cum cum parada. Imole Deo, o cum cum parada. Imole Deo, o cum cum parada. Alright, so today I'm looking on the greatness of God. We'll go to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and we're looking on Nebuchadnezzar, right, the king of Babylon, as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were Hebrew boys or Jews. Now, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, right, and this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar made, whenever the trumpet, the flute, the harp, pipes, whenever the sound of that music is made, then everybody should fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, set up. Whoever fails to fall down and worship the image shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace, and we can read about that in the first part of Daniel chapter 3 from verses 1 to 7. Now there came a time when the music played and everybody bowed down except the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, the mischievous Chaldeans, which orchestrated the whole thing, encouraged the king to make the image. They were really against the Jews, you know, because look at it this way, the Jews came into this land, the blessing of God was still upon them, meaning they had the Most High God in them, right, the Spirit of God in them, and they were still prospering, in a sense, even though they were slaves, they were taken captive, right, so they did not like them, so they looked for every opportunity to get rid of them. So this was their perfect opportunity, seeing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not bow to their image because that's idol worship, and they serve the true and living God, and based on the Hebrew laws, which is in the New Testament, when God, Jesus spoke about his name, he said that they should have no other God but him, a one God. So should worship no other God, should have no other God beside him. Right? When he was talking about love, when he said the greatest of these is love, the commandments, love, it all comes down to love. And then he said love the neighbor by yourself, the second to the first. Right? So they did not bow down to the image. So these men, the Chaldeans, went and complained to Nebuchadnezzar. Now Nebuchadnezzar called for them to come in his presence, right, and said, okay, let us sound, when the music sounds, let's see what will happen, because remember now, you know, if you don't bow down to it, then I know that what these men are saying is really true. So when the music played, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down, and they did explain the reason they will not bow down. Right, because they serve the Most High God and there is no other God but him. Right, and they explained, they said, you know, if it be that the God who we serve decides that when we show in the fire, then we will consume. Nevertheless, the sin will not worship the golden image that you have set up. So they made it clear. So they had two perspectives. They said, look, our God that we serve is able to deliver us. You hear? He's able. So nothing takes away from that. He says, our God that we serve is able to deliver us out of thine hand, O King. We're looking at, you know, remember, we're looking at how we know God. Who is God to us? The various names that God carries, right? And he's saying here that he knows God to be a deliverer, right? He knows that God is able to deliver them out of the burning fiery furnace. And then he's saying that if he chooses not to deliver them out of it, then they're still not going to serve the idols of the king Nebuchadnezzar. So they are forced to throw them in the furnace. And when they went into the furnace to show how God is so great, even the men who brought them to the furnace, because the king, you know, in his rage, he commanded that they should make the fire 7 times hotter than the usual heat, right? So to show the goodness of God, to show that yes, this fire really burns, the men who brought them close to push them into the fire, those men were in their coats and everything, and those men were burnt up immediately, right? So the king of Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked, he saw 4 men in the fire. And they weren't bound, because when they were throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, they were bound hand and foot. You see the wickedness? It wasn't enough to throw them into the fire, you know, but because they spoke so highly of their God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Most High God, they spoke of him as the deliverer. The king ensured that he bound them up before he put them in. Now anyway, he saw 4 men, you remember the throwing 3. They saw 4 men walking freely in the fire. So the king said, no, but didn't we throw in 3 men into the furnace? But I see 4 of them in there walking around free. So the king went to the mouth of the fiery furnace now and called for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. So you see, the king know him now, you know. The king know this same God where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was talking about as their deliverer. The king knew him as the Most High God, because the king said, but who else could have done something like this? This is great. This is the Most High God. Then in the same Daniel chapter 3 verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. You see, they trusted in God because they knew God as a deliverer. Right? And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And then the king made a decree that everyone should worship, or well, they say no one should say anything bad. He said, there is no other God that can deliver after this start. So the king had known them as a deliverer. But also he made a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss. This is verse 29 of Daniel 3. Against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this start. So the king now know the Most High God as a deliverer, right? And this goes back to show that God is a deliverer. I remember when Moses was to take the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, right? And they knew him as the God who put the plague on the land of Egypt, right? They knew him as that God. But when they came to the Red Sea, and there was no way to go through, and they started to, you know, panic and everything, because the Egyptians was coming and they were backed up. There was no way to cross. and only the sea in front of them. And when God opened the sea and let them pass through, protecting them, ensuring that the Egyptians never catch up with them, because he placed a cloud or a fire always behind them so that the Egyptians will never catch up on them. And when they went across safely and the Egyptians drowned in the sea, when he brought back the sea together, they looked and right there and then they know God as a deliverer. So they know, they get to know God in his different, what would I say, his different characteristics or his different attributes. I remember when Moses was before Pharaoh in Exodus, and you know, before he came in front of Pharaoh, he was a bit fearful, and he said to God that, you know, I remember Moses is the man that spoke face to face with the Lord, and he said to him that, look, when you go before Pharaoh, tell him that I am, that I am sent you. So that's like a blank check. That's like somebody giving you a check, writing out the name on the check, and writing in no money. So you can go with that check and put any amount of money on that check. So it's a blank check. I am that I am. So you must place whatever it is you need to place in this situation. So if there's a situation where God, you need God to be a deliverer, I am the deliverer. That is what he's saying. If there's a situation that you need God to heal, I am the healer. So whatever the situation, God is saying, I am that I am. Now, let me give you an example. There, someone came knocking on my door, two persons, they were witnesses, and we were having a discussion about God. Now, they know God as Jehovah, so we were discussing about love, and they were talking about the love of God. Now, a scripture was shown to me, right, and in that scripture, it's called God by his name, Jehovah, right? Now, they said to me, in the scripture that we just read, what is the name of God, right? And I saw Most High, because Most High was in the scripture as well, and I said, I see God, his name is Most High. So they said, no, aren't you seeing where it said his name is Jehovah? I said, yes, it says his name is Jehovah, but also in the same verse that you're showing me here, it says that his name is Most High. But because they had their agenda, they came with their own agenda, you know, right? But I was still listening same way, because you never know who God may send at a particular time to say something. After all, he used the donkey in the Bible to speak, right? When the angel was in the way, and that is something that you guys can look up, when the donkey spoke. So if you use an ass in the Bible to say something, then who, you know, can't see you? So, of course, I was accommodating. Now, there was an example that one of the witnesses gave, where they were saying that two persons, or, you know, who you're speaking to, two persons walking down the street, right? And let's use two names. One is Rose and one is Emma, for example. Now, these two persons walking down the road, and you said, you called out, Rose. They're saying the one whose name is Rose will look around, but the one whose name is Emma would not look around, because her name is not Rose. I agree. But here comes, and they're placing it that, okay, his name is Jehovah, and that's the only name he answers to. Right. Now, I placed another example. I said, okay, that is the perfect example. Now look at it this way. Suppose the two persons going down the road, their names are Rose and Rose. So both of them named Rose. When you call out Rose, what would happen? And the witness, one of the witnesses' response was, both of them would turn around. So, there you go. Why both of them would turn around? The witnesses said to me that, because both of them name is Rose. So I said, there you go. And that is very important to what I've been saying all along. The name of God is based on his characteristics or attributes and not the name itself. The power no come, the power is in the name, you know. But the power never starts in the name. The power began with the experience, and the experience became the name. Now, it's a drawback in the Bible when persons were getting their name. We're coming back to God, you know. But let us go where you can understand. In the Bible, when persons getting named, it's named based off the experience they were having at the time, you know. For example, if a woman was in travail, hard travail, and then the baby come, then she might name the baby Benona because of the pain, you know, that she was having during the time, or she might name him Jabez, sorrow, right? While another person might look and say, but God has blessed me because, you know, all along no children, and then at 90 years old, God gave Isaac. So name based off the name coming off of the meaning and the experience that the person had. It's the same thing with God. When God said, I am that I am, and he said, look, put anything beside it. I am the deliverer. So whatever he has done in that time, he's saying, I am the deliverer. I am the way maker. I am the healer. I am the protector. I am the Most High God. When he said, I am God Almighty. I am the God who sees all. I am omnipotent God. He's telling us that it is the attribute. All right, look at this other example. Remember when Abraham was told to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Remember, Isaac is the one God has promised him that he will get with his wife, Sarah. Now, when Isaac was born and everything, you know, he loved his son. And God said, look, God's proving him now, proving his faith. Right, and say, alright, then let's just see if Abraham loved me even more than what the son that he has been waiting for so long, if he loved him more. And he said, look, mother has to sacrifice this boy. And he brought him up to the sacrifice. And in the moment of him completing that sacrifice, the angel appeared and said, look over there. And when we look, he saw a ram caught in the thicket. God made provision for the sacrifice, so his son was spared, and the ram was used in the place as the sacrifice. Now that has a lot of meaning, you know, a lot of meaning, because it comes back to Jesus Christ being the lamb, being the sacrifice for all mankind so that we can be saved. But that is not what we're discussing here. We are discussing knowing God based on his attributes, or based on the characteristics, or based on some experience. Right after Abraham made an altar and he called that place Jehovah Jireh. You know why I'm calling it Jehovah Jireh? Because right there and then he knew God as the provider. Jehovah Jireh means God the provider. You getting it now? God the provider. So we know God, the place was named based on what the attribute of God, experience of God right here on the mountain, Jehovah Jireh. So we can put God in a little box to say, yes, God is provider, God is healer, God is protector. Because he's everything God is. So I'm saying, I am that I am. I am that I am. You know? So we know God based on the characteristics. And that is it. We know him based on the characteristics. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, get to know God as the highest God, because the God that he knew of, the idols that he worshipped, could not do such a thing as this. That is how he knew him as the Most High God. He knew him now as a deliverer God. Even though he was an idol worshipper, he knew this God through your experience now that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through in this fiery furnace. So we need to know God in the various aspects of our life. Know Him for who He is. And even if He doesn't come through as how you expect Him to come through, He is still God. He's the I am that I am. Nevertheless, He's still God. Don't deny God when hard times come. When good times come, everybody alright. You have something to eat, you have something to drink, you have a roof over your head. Hard times come to test. To test you, you know. And when the hard time come, start to either curse God. You can remain faithful, you know. But some start to curse God. Some start to deny God. So He's no longer the provider. He's no longer the Jehovah Jireh to them. But guess what? Nevertheless, God is still God. That is what is very important. No matter what life experiences, you still have to come back to the fact that God is still God. Yeah, man, He's still God. He's still Elohim. Go and look up these words. God, you know, Most High God. He's still Abba. Abba Father. Yeah, man, I am that, you know. He was still Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And you know Jehovah Jireh already. You know El Shaddai, God Almighty. He went on that lick out of sky. Ask a man to grab the thunder and fling it back, or the lightning and fling it back and say, look, don't come. Or when the sun goes, he takes something and cover the sun. I dare you to do that. He's still God. No matter what, He's still God. Respect Him, honor Him, because I'm God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.